On Chav Gimel Amid Aleph, 23A, we are 7 or 8 lines up from the bottom. Recognizing we need a little bit of speed this morning. I'll ask various unnamed people to oblige. We're in the middle of Rabbi Zera's 3 questions. All 3 questions are fundamentally about intermediate entities and what their status is. When we have a spectrum, bless you, such as in our first question, a bird, where we said bird, there are birds of younger ages, there are birds of older ages, and then there's this intermediate stage, which we said is nishtahin nishtaher. So the question was, what's the status of a bird in that intermediate stage? Is it that it belongs to one or the other? And we just don't know which one to put it with. So therefore we say, don't use it as a karban, right? We talked about the B'nai Yonah are good when they're younger. The Tarim are good when they're older. What happens in the intermediate stage? Is it that I don't know which one it is? Or is it no, that in that intermediate stage, it's actually a separate entity. It doesn't qualify as being younger. It doesn't qualify as being older. That was the question we discussed yesterday. But boy, Rabbi Zera, we now have a second question, a similar issue. The issue of a palges. A palges is a ram that's between 12 and 13 months. When it's up to 12 months, it's a keves, it's a lamb. When it's 13 months and over, then it's called an ayil, it's called a ram. And there are different karbanos for which we use a keves or we use an ayil. But in between is called a palges. And the question is, what do we do with it in that intermediate period? What is that called? Boy, Rabbi Zera. Rabbi Zera asks, if a person says, I'm going to bring a karban ola using either an ayil or a keves, that's his declaration. Vehevi palges, and he brought this creature that's in its first month of its second year. The mahu, did he fulfill his obligation? He says, well, Rabbi Yochanan, we know. Rabbi Yochanan says it's a bria, it's its own separate entity. It doesn't qualify as keves, it doesn't qualify as ayil. How do I know Rabbi Yochanan's position? Disnan, because I have a Mishnah that says, hikri vau, if you brought a palges, mevi olav niske ayil ve'in olalo mizivcho. We learned that if you bring a palges as a karban, then you bring nisachim as though it is an ayil, as though it is a ram. In footnote number 1, I show the different nesachim that are brought for rams and for lambs. So you bring the nesachim associated with a ram. Ve'ein olelo mizivcho. And if you were obligated to bring an ayil, or you were obligated to bring a keves, then the palges wouldn't count. That's the statement in the Mishnah. Va'amar Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan says, Ola ayil la rabbo says apalges. He disagrees. He says the Torah says Ola ayil in mentioning the nesachim you bring. That means to include palges. So from the fact that Rabbi Yochanan says that the Torah has to go out of its way to include a palges, that teaches me that a palges is a bria of its own. If it was simply, I don't know which one it is, I don't know whether it's a keves, I don't know whether it's an ayil, you wouldn't have a pasuk to include it. Either it is or it isn't. So you can't ordinarily because you don't know what to do with it. But if you did, this is the question, what would you do with the nesachim? That's what they're asking. And the answer is, you bring the nesachim of an ayil, but Rabbi Yochanan says, the way I know to bring the nesachim of an ayil is because I have a special pasuk. So that means that he believes palges in the intermediate stage is its own entity. There is palges, it turns palges at 12 months, it turns ayil at 13 months, and the nesachim that the Torah lists for an ayil count for a palges as well. That's the way Rabbi Yochanan looks at it. The question is, what about if you don't agree with Rabbi Yochanan? Kitiboy Yilach, the question for you is Aliba de Bar Pada, within the view of Bar Pada, flipping over onto Chav Gimel Amid Beis, De Amar Maisi Umasni. Bar Pada says, no, I don't have a pasuk for it. What I do is I bring the palges as my karban, and I make a condition. I say, well, either this is an ayil, or this is a keves. And if it's an ayil, then these are the right nesachim for it. And if it's a keves, then really the nesachim should be this. However, whatever I'm bringing that's inappropriate for it is just an adava. It's just a voluntary set of nesachim. So mi amrinan, do I say ayil v'keves masne, that the tenai he makes is the one I just stated, that he says either it's an ayil, in which case this is for it and that's just nedava, or this is a keves and this is the part that's required for it, and whatever is left is an adava. I mean, you can see which one would have surplus based on footnote number 1. But the point is, you only do that, but bebria lo masne, you don't offer a third option. right? Or this is A, palges and whatever. O dilma, bebriya nami masna. Or maybe not. Maybe you make a condition also. Da amar saying, I briya hava lavi kula nadava. Maybe this is in fact a briya. It's its own separate entity. In which case, there are no appropriate nesachim. The nesachim the Torah outlined for keves don't apply. The nesachim the Torah outlined for ayil don't apply. And in fact, there are no nesachim for a palges. Right? So that's my other option. That's the question. To which he says, Teku. Rabbi Yochanan is fine. Rabbi Yochanan says, I believe it's a bria, and you bring them the sachem that are appropriate for an ayo based on the Torah's prescription. It's Bar Pida who has the problem, because he hasn't stated. Parenthetically, I go to you in the footnote there, the Rambam seems to give opposite indications. The Rambam says that you bring the nesachem of a ram, without any conditions. So it sounds like it's a bria. That's in one place in Ma'aseh Korbanos, in Perek Beis Halacha Vav. But in Perek Tezayin Halacha Beis, he says that a person who vows to bring a keves, or vows to bring an ayil, is besafek. If he brings a palges, he's besafek. He doesn't say it's a bria. So Lecha Mishnah asks that. He says, go look at the Mabit, who gave a bad answer to this. Tzarachidim. That's how he addressed it. The Rambam is unclear in terms of his ruling.
What's the timeline for it to become a palges?
12 months to 13 months. That's it. It turns a year old, now it's a palges. A month later, it's now an ayo.
Let it wait. Just stick it in the...
Yeah, but the question is...
Why did they say 10?
The question with Jews is not, why didn't you do X? The question with Jews is not, why didn't you do it some other way? It's what do we do now? Yaakov?
How did we conclude yesterday's question?
So I think we had concluded the...
clear, but we didn't say take.
No, we brought an attempt to prove it from Rava, right? And then we said no, because you could always just take the pasuk somewhere else. That's correct. No, we didn't have a conclusion. That's correct. We did not have a conclusion.
Now we've got a take on. Yesterday we sort of went all over the map, but we didn't really answer the question. Gemara didn't come to any conclusion.
And here the Gemara doesn't offer us... Well, the question is, why over there didn't they use the word teiku?
Yeah, that's what I mean.
Yeah, don't know.
You could make a thigh.
Right, but it's still a teiku in terms of answering our initial question. That's true.
In this discussion, your second opinion does not use the word both or anything. It seems they just don't use...
Which discussion?
Well, it said that your Yochanan used all, the I'll use the word both.
Yeah. Right, so Tosis comments on that, no?
There was a... Rashi says, we
said that back in Shnei Midos, and they gave you a reference to it.
See the second line of Rashi?
Right, that's where I saw it, right. Right, that they said it over there. They gave you a different use. Yeah. Yeah, although it gets defeated, but yeah. Okay. So, boy, Rabbi Zera. Rabbi Zera asks a third question, and this is regarding siur. Remember that we say that siur is chametz nuksha. The question is what siur is. It's dough that is no longer matzah. It has started to rise, but it's not yet chametz. So we call it chametz nuksha. And the Gemara back in Psachim, Rabbi Meir says that one who eats siur gets malkos. Rabbi Yehuda says that one who eats siur is potter. It's potter avalasir, but it's potter. There's a machlokas why Rabbi Yehuda says potter. One view of the Mishnah is Yaakov says it's an isser asay. That's great. He says it's an isser asay. The rule is any grain product you're going to have on Pesach must be matzah. So therefore, if you have siur, you violated an isser asay. That's all. So there are no malkos for it. It's a unique view. The Bnei Yeshua says it's del raisa, but there are no malkos attached to it. And then Tosos and Menachos says it's a derabanan. That's going to matter for one of the points we're going to make here. But so one machlokas is what's your liability if you eat siur? And then a second machlokas between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda is what is siur? Rabbi Meir says it's when the dough starts to change colors. It starts to hichsifu panav is the expression over there. It starts to darken, perhaps. So that's when it's siur. And Rabbi Yehuda says it's karnei chagavim, when it develops cracks that are like the antenna of a locust or a grasshopper. So the question is, what is this when you talk about siur? Is it chametz? Is it matzah? Is it what exactly is it? So boy, Rabbi Zera.
It's like intermediate.
Well, that's the question.
the boy Rabbi Zera. HaOmer HaRei Leilach Meitoda Menachamei Tzom Menamatzav. A person says, "I'm going to bring Lach Meitoda." You know that 30 loaves are supposed to be matzah, 10 are supposed to be chametz. So he says, "I'm going to bring Lach Meitoda, which are chametz or matzah." The question is a little bit bizarre. We're going to come back to refining this, but let's say that that's what he said. The Havi Seor, and he brought Seor. Mau, what's the rule? So the Gemara says what? Seor deman. First of all, whose seor are you talking about? E seor de Rabbi Meir. If you mean Rabbi Meir, that it's discolored, and you're asking, what do I do with that? Le Rabbi Yehuda matzah ma'al yasahi. Well, Rabbi Yehuda is going to say that that's matzah. Right? It's only when it becomes Kanech HaGavim that it hits the seer stage. So he's going to say this is matzah. And E de Rabbi Yehuda, and if you're going to use Rabbi Yehuda's standard, that it's when it's cracked already, Le Rabbi Meir Chametzu. Rabbi Meir says that's already Chametz. The E de Rabbi Meir, Le Rabbi Meir, so you'll say, well, I'm asking Rabbi Meir's Shita, that it's discolored dough within the view of Rabbi Meir. Well, Rabbi Meir says, you get Malkos. So me de Lucky Alei Chametzu. From the fact that he says you're getting Malkos, you must be considered Chametz already. Granted, it's not full Chametz to be under Komach Meses get Kares. But it's clearly chametz, or else we wouldn't be hitting the guy. Ella de Rabbi Yehuda, le Rabbi Yehuda. So our question is, Rabbi Yehuda's view that it's at the stage of karne chagavim, which Rabbi Meir called chametz already, but within Rabbi Yehuda's own view that it's usher to eat, but you're potter if you eat it. My, what's the rule going? How do I understand this?
So is it after it's changed color before it's karne chagavim?
No, at the karne chagavim stage. After it has changed color, he'll say it's still matzah.
After it's still seer.
Correct. It's only once you hit the wider cracks, nisarhu hasdakim, that the cracks start to mix, that's when he says it's chametz. So yeah, so you have the first stage, which...
It's
at kanei chagavim, and it's at more than. That's what we call the kanei chagavim
stage.
Correct. Let me lay it out. Let me lay it out. 1 second. You mixed your flour and your water. At this point, it's still matzah. Hichsifu panav. Rabbi Meir says siur. Rabbi Yehuda says still matzah. Karnei chagavim. It now has some cracks in it. Rabbi Meir says it's now chametz. Rabbi Yehuda says this is siur. The cracks start to mix with each other. They're blending in with each other. Now Rabbi Meir says still saying chametz. Obviously, Rabbi Yehuda says chametz as well. So we want to know is, it crossed the threshold of starting to crack, but it hasn't yet had the cracks merge. That's what we want to know. Yaakov, question? Okay. So what we want to know is, what does Rabbi Yehuda believe this is when he calls it siur? Sfeika havia v'nafik mimanafshach. Do we say that it's safek? And therefore, if I bring it to fulfill my vow of either chametz or matzah, one way or another, I satisfied my vow, because either it's chametz or it's matzah, so I did something. Odoma briyahu v'lo nafik. Or do I say no? Siur is its own entity, and therefore I did not fulfill my vow. To which the Gemara says, I don't understand your question in the first place. What kind of a vow is this? The Ha'amar Rav Huna, didn't Rav Huna say, Ha'omer ha'rei alai lach meitoda mevi toda v'lachma. If a person says he's going to bring lach meitoda without mentioning the animal, okay, he just brings it, he says, I'm going to bring bread for a toda. So the rule is, mevi toda v'lachma. He has to bring not only the bread, he has to bring the animal too. In other words, our assumption is everybody knows what you're supposed to bring, and he really meant to bring a proper carbon. So the same thing should be true by this person who vows, I'm going to bring either chametz or matzah. The kevin de ichayiv le betoda v'lachma, since he's really obligated to bring the full set, animal plus 40 loaves, holo yada haigavra ichametzu de lesi matzah, imatzu de lesi chametz. What good are these loaves going to do, these intermediate loaves of seer? Because he knows he needs to bring 30 loaves of matzah, he knows he needs to bring 10 loaves of chametz, and he doesn't know what these loaves that are seer qualify as. Right? That's his problem. He won't know what to do with the rest. Now, even if you'll tell me, well, it's really a suffix, so you fulfilled one of them. It's no good. It's useless to him, because he doesn't know what else he has to bring.
Wait, so obviously he's only bringing some of these, right? He's not trying to bring 40.
No, that's the thing. We're saying you can't. We're saying there's no such thing. We're saying there's no... Yaakov. I've got until 6:25 when chakra starts, to be fair. The point is, I want to go through the Mishnah. The point is that I don't know. The point is that he has to bring a full set of 40 loaves. So it's useless to tell me, well, you qualified as some of them. You don't have that option. the lo tzricha. So his answer is, you know what? We reread the question. Da amar harei lechala liftor todaso shel ploni. The answer is, it's where he said, not I'm bringing a full set, or something that leads to him having to bring a full set, but rather it's where he said, I'm going to bring a challah which will help towards someone else. So did he fulfill his vow or not? Granted, it's useless to someone else, but at least did he fulfill his vow? To which the Gemara says, but it's useless. The other guy isn't going to know what it is, and you said you're going to do it, as Rashi says, liftor, to fulfill an obligation for the other guy. The other guy says, thanks a lot. So he says, lo, tzricha delo amar lifter. Fine, take out the word lifter. It isn't lifter, it isn't fulfill the obligation. Mepa gavri de nidro nafik, oh no nafik. What we want to know is, did it work for the other guy, and then what will you do with it? Rashi says, you'll redeem it, let the money go for nidava, for a carbon toda for somebody. That's what you'll do. So did you fulfill it for him or not? To which he answers, Teku. That's what you're going to have to do. The Be'er Hadaf on this wants to know, if it's really a Bria, why would you have to destroy it like Chametz? Right? We do all that you have to destroy it. So if it was really Bria B'fnei Atzmo, then you shouldn't have to destroy it. But maybe it's within the view. I mentioned that there's a view that Rabbi Yehuda says that it's only Derabanan, that you're not allowed to eat it, lest you come to eat Chametz. So maybe within the view that it's only Derabanan, you could say the reason I have to destroy it is simply lest I end up having Chametz.
Well, no, it's a variant. There's a little Chametz in there, maybe. That's why you have to burn it.
But we're not willing to entertain the idea that it's a mixed thing. That far they're not willing to go.
Either it's matzah or chametz, but it's a beria, that means it could be a combo.
No, a beria means that it's actually neither. Nishter is
it's
a thing. Correct. Just like the palgase, just like the palgase was not a kaves and was not an ayil, potentially.
You cover it, you have to be careful, so you have to burn about that.
So if you say it's a derabanan, then it's lest I mess up, lest I gauge it wrong or whatever it is, correct? Mishnah. This now continues our tangent. We started this by talking about what's shechita, what's malika, and what about the spots on the side of the neck. So we continue with this bifurcation issue of arifa and shechita. Okay, remember that for egla arifa, you do arifa from the back of the neck. For shechita, for paraduma, for example, you do shechita from the front. And and now we're talking about the difference between arifa and shechita. Kasher bepara pasul be'egla. That which works for a para aduma, is meaning shechita, is no good for the egla arufa. And kasher be'egla pasul be'para. That which works for the egla arufa is no good for the para aduma. You should note, I put it in the footnote, the Yerushalmi in Sota defines arifa as cutting all or most of the simanim, the trachea and the esophagus of the creature, just from the back. That's the Yerushalmi in Sota. Ibn Ezra, though, in Devarim, says that arifa is a complete severing of the head. So no, it's not just I got to the simanim. Sorry? It's decapitation entirely, correct. There are more sources on this, but that's just a point regarding arifa. Are you really cutting off the head or not? The answer is from the Yerushalmi, it doesn't sound like it has to be cutting off the head, but the Ibn Ezra thinks that's what you're actually doing. So Tana Rabbanan, the Braisa says, para b'shchita kshera, ba'arefa psula, you have a para aduma, you shecht it, that's what's kosher. Arefa is no good. Egla, ba'arefa kshera b'shchita psula. Nimzeis kosher b'para, pasul b'egla, kosher b'egla, pasul b'para. Right? Restatement of what we said in the Mishnah. Now he asks though, utehei para kshera ba'arefa mikal v'chomer. Why isn't arefa good for the para aduma as a kavachomer? Uma egla shelo huchshura b'shchita huchshura ba'arefa. The egla, you can't do shchita on it, but arefa works. Para shehuchshura b'shchita ain't a din shehuchshura ba'arefa. Shchita works for the para. Certainly, arefa should work for it. Just like what we tried to bring the other day regarding the stud. So Amar Kra Vishachat Vichuka. The Torah says Vishachat, you shall shecht it, and it uses the word Zos Chukas HaTorah. Chok is a sign for us. This is the way it's got to be. Vishchita in Barefa. Lo, the Brisa concludes, it has to be Shchita. Arefa is no good, and the Gemara is going to discuss whether Chuka really means that. We'll pick up with that, God willing, tomorrow. Yes.
So when we break, you just throw down the cliff.
Rav Hashem, no, so he's saying not. Rav Hashem, banachal means you actually have to do the act of arefa, so it appears.